Another amen. Father, we do thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you because you have something good to impart to every life. We're asking, Lord, that tonight to reach every soul in your word in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that you make the word clear, make the word plain, make the word applicable to every life, so that, Lord, it will turn our lives around in Jesus' name. Bless us and help us to be a blessing to other people. Let the blessing even start from now. And then as we listen to your word, receive your word, we're going to be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Touch every life. Turn us around. Change whatever needs to be changed. That will know your will and fit into your perfect will. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. You can see that it's a joy to be with you tonight. And we welcome everyone, the newcomers, the old timers, and everybody. And I pray that this word will be very clear to everyone tonight in Jesus' name. We'll be studying from the Gospel according to St. John. And we're now in chapter 9. It's a story about the man that was born blind. And Jesus saw him. And Jesus took the initiative and then got to him and touched his eyes with that clay that he made from the ground. And then blocked the sight, even the sight he didn't have before, and put the clay on his eyes. And told him to go and wash in the pool Siloam. And he went in obedience and he came back seeing. And as you obey the word of God, what you have not seen before, you will see. The blessings of your life that have been hidden away from you, you're going to see and receive in Jesus' name. And then as he came back, neighbors saw him, community people saw him. And he said, is this not the man that was born blind? Some said, looks like him, he is. Others said, no, it cannot be him. How can he be seen now? And then the man said, what did he say? It's me. How did your eyes get open? He said, somebody called Jesus. Somebody help me shout that name. Jesus. Somebody called Jesus. He made clay, put on my eyes, and told me to go and wash. And I went to wash, and now I see. And then they brought him to the Pharisees. You know those Pharisees. And when he got to the Pharisees could not believe that anything like that had happened. So they called his parents. And he said, is this your son whom you said was born blind? They said, yes, that's our son. How then is now seeing? Is this? You can see his seen. And then they said, how did his eyes get open? They said, well, don't know, because you're afraid of the Pharisees, because they had said, if anybody confessed that Jesus is the Christ, that they were going to chase him out of the synagogue. So they said, we do not know he's of age, ask him. And they asked the man, and he told them, but they didn't believe. And look at what he said, we're starting now from verse 24. Then again called they the man that was born blind, and said unto him, give glory, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. That was their conclusion. And then look at the man. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. Thank God I know it. One thing I know. I said, thank God I know something. Have you met Jesus? Has he transformed your life? Has he saved your soul? You must know something. And something that you know you can tell everybody. And as you tell them, they're not going to be like the Pharisees. They're going to respond very well in Jesus' name. He said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, tell me, now I see. Then said they unto him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already. And ye did not hear, ye did not believe. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. up. As for this fellow, we're referring to Jesus. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why? Herein is a marvelous sin, that she know not from whence he is, yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. This the man whose eyes had been opened, the eyes of the mind opened, the eyes of the heart opened. Intelligence has come, insight has come, and wisdom has come. And was talking to them boldly and confidently. And he said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it's going to the history of the world now, a man that was born blind, but now he could see. And talking confidently and looking them face to face, he wasn't ashamed, he wasn't afraid, he wasn't intimidated, he wasn't cowed down, he wasn't a kind of embarrassed. He said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then answered and said unto him, that was us together born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Did he want to be taught? Did he want to hear the truth? But I want to hear the truth. As you look at this chapter, in fact, as you look at the whole of the New Testament, there's something you are going to find out. Those religious leaders and their followers exposed themselves as blind people. They exposed their spiritual blindness. In fact, Jesus says so. He said those leaders and their followers, they are blind. Look at Matthew chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 14. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. It says in verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know what Jesus has said there? The leaders who are blind, their followers who are blind. The teachers who are blind, their students who are blind. And the preachers who are blind, and their hearers who are blind. He said the blind was leading the blind. And as the blind is leading the blind, both of them will fall into the ditch. But how come that their eyes were blind? How come that their minds and their hearts could not see the truth? These people closed their eyes that they might not see the truth. The truth was there deliberately. They say, we don't want to see. The evidence was there. We don't want to see. The miracle was plain. We don't want to see. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. For these people's heart is wax gross. You see that? Their heart gross, dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Who closed their eyes? I said, who closed their eyes? They themselves, they closed their eyes. They said, no, this is a miracle we don't want to see. This is a clear testimony we don't want to see. This is a sample of what Jesus Christ has done to prove that this is the Son of God, and to prove that this is the Christ, and to prove that this is the expected Messiah. But it says their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. He said, it will have come to them, that same miracle of the eyes being opened, that same miracle of conversion, that miracle of transformation, it should have come unto them, but they closed their eyes and they closed their heart, that they will not hear. Look at John chapter 12, their heart also was hardened. They hardened their hearts against the word of the Lord. They wouldn't see. Thank God they will see. We're looking at John chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 40. John chapter 12, verse 40 says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Eyes blind, ears closed. And then it says the heart was hardened, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. You understand the problem of the people. The problem of the people, number one, their problem with their heart, uncircumcised heart. Number two, they had problem with their tongue. They had untamed tongue. Come back to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, verse 24. John chapter 9, verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said, verse 24, unto him, give God the praise. We know that he, this man, is a sinner. See how they were talking. And they were talking confidently, as if what they said was the truth. They had problem with their heart, uncircumcised heart, and they had problem with their tongue, untamed tongue. Isn't there a connection between the tongue and the heart, the heart and the tongue? It was like that with the Pharisees. It's like that with every sinner today. It's like that with every religious person who is blind to the truth today. They have hearts that are hardened, and they have tongues that tell lies. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, you see the double problem they had, the connection between the heart and the tongue. It tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, so generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? Then it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. If the heart is dirty, the tongue will be dirty. The mouth will be dirty. The language will be dirty. If the heart is false, the mouth, the tongue, the lips will be false. If the heart is unregenerated, uncircumcised, the tongue too will be untamed. And let's look at that. Number one is the uncircumcised heart. And number two is the untamed tongue. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. The problem of those people. Why they said what they said. And why they were the way they were. And why they will not accept something very plain, something very clear. That look at the man. He was born blind. A miracle has happened. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, showing that he was the expected Messiah, had performed the miracle. But the condition of their heart will not allow them to see. Will not allow them to understand, will not allow them to believe. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7 verse 51. Acts 7, 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. That was the problem. Their forefathers were like that. They were like that. Their children, their descendants were like you. It says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, Christ was talking to them directly. And here is what he said about them. And this is what he said to them. Luke chapter 16, verse 14. It says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, they heard all these things, and they derided him. They reviled him. They looked down him. They belittled him. And they insulted him. And look at verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they, we justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. It's a problem of the heart. Unregenerated heart. Unconverted heart. Uncircumcised heart. Unclean heart. Hardened heart. God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 28. I'm reading from verse 27. Acts chapter 28. And we're reading from verse 27. In verse 27, for the heart of these people is wax gross. Is the heart. Is the heart. Whatever the heart is will determine the condition of your life, will determine the condition of your tongue and the condition of your language. And everything you do and your behavior will be affected by the heart. It says, for the heart of these people is what's gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are deep closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 21, the condition of the heart of the people. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. As we look at those Pharisees, their foolish heart became darkened. They couldn't see because their heart was dull, because their heart was strange and estranged from the Lord. It tells us in Romans chapter 2 verse 5, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Their heart was hardened and their heart was impenitent. In fact, that's the reason why their forefathers could not enter into the land of Canaan, because of the condition of their heart. They saw miracle and they saw mighty power of God manifested, but their heart was hard. They had the heart of unbelief, and the Lord is saying that we should take care that such a heart is not in us today. Hebrews chapter 3. We're reading from verse 8. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8. It tells us, harden not your hearts as in the day, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Look at verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Look at verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then in verse 15, it tells us, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. They hardened themselves. They hardened their hearts. That's the reason why their tongue said what their tongue said, and said, they said, give praise to God. Give God the praise, because we know that this man is a sinner. The second problem they had was their tongue. Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, the tongue that said the wrong thing, how could they say that about the Lord Jesus Christ? When sometimes, Nicodemus came to the Lord and said, we know that thou art from God. Your teacher come from God. Nobody can do these miracles that you are doing except God be with him. He was one of them. And now the rest of the people, they are saying, we know that this man is a sinner. Untamed tongue. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 34, generation of vipers, unconverted. O generation of vipers, uncleaner. O generation of vipers, poisonous. O generation of vipers, depraved. O generation of vipers, there was no change in them at all. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the hearts, the mouth speaketh. James chapter 1 is telling us today, if we claim to be Christians and then our tongues are saying the wrong thing, if we claim to be children of God and then our tongues cannot frame the right word to say, if we say we're Christians and then we're saying things that are wrong, and things that are false, and things that are unclean, and things that are dirty, and things that are unrighteous, if the tongues is unrighteous, the heart is unrighteous, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl is not born again yet. Look at James chapter 1, in verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Chapter 3, verse 5. In chapter 3 verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. You see, those Pharisees, their tongues were untamed. They were not born again. They were not Christians. They were not believers. They were not righteous. Religious, but not righteous. Because their heart was uncircumcised. Their heart was hard. And their tongues too untamed. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Romans chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 13. Romans chapter 3. Reading from verse 13. In verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're reading from verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 3, here in verse 10, look at the word of God here, chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that he speak no guile. Refrain his tongue from evil, and that he will see good days when he departs from all evil. Those Pharisees closed their eyes. Those Pharisees stopped their ears, and they shut the door of their hearts, that no light of truth, that no light of testimony will get in. And they also made their tongues to be loose, without control, like a sword turning here and there, to keep teachers and testifiers far away from them. As we look at this, chapter 9, ending, that is finishing chapter 9 tonight, we're looking at it from verse 24 all through to verse 41. The indestructible faith of a new believer. The indestructible faith of a new believer. He was a new believer. He just met the Lord. His eyes were open. He got a miracle touch from the Lord. And now you can tell about the testimony, the way he was testifying, and he wanted to destroy his faith, destroy his confidence in the Lord, and destroy the backbone that he had and the conviction that he had, but said, no, once I was blind, but now I can see. And because he could see, they could not silence him. They will not silence you. They will not stop you. They will not break your backbone. They'll not take your conviction away in Jesus' name. Three things we're considering. Number one, the depravity of carnal religious sinners. Number one, the depravity of carnal religious sinners. Number two, the discernment of a courageous ransomed soul. This man was ransomed, was redeemed, was saved, was born again, had a new life. And you can tell as we read the whole thing tonight. And he had discernment of a courageous ransomed soul. Number three is devotion to Christ, the revealed Savior. His devotion to Christ, the revealed Savior. Coming back to number one, the depravity of carnal religious sinners. Look at chapter 9 again. John chapter 9. I'm reading here from verse 24. John chapter 9 from verse 24. Then again called David the man that was blind. No more blind, was blind. No more blind, now he can see. He was blind, and he said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that when I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. I told you already, but ye would not hear. You'll not believe, you'll not accept. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? The implication is, I'm following him. Do you want to follow? I'm a disciple. Do you want to be a disciple? I'm a believer. Do you want to be a believer too? And now for Jesus Christ, do you too want to be for Jesus? Look at what he said. Then they reviled him. And he said, thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Let's look at their depravity. They say, we know this man is a sinner. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Jesus said, this sin you are talking about, point it out now. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Sin in the open, sin in the secret, sin very small or sin very big. Which of you can convince me of any sin or convict me of any sin? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because, tell me, ye are not of God. If somebody is of God, born again, he'll love the word of God. He'll cherish the word of God. He'll accept the word of God. But because he's not born again, because he's not a child of God yet, he hates the word. He detests the word. He pushes away the word. He reacts against the word. You're not hearing because you're not of God. If you were really of God, you love the word of God, accept the word of God, believe the word of God, delight, rejoice in the word of God. But it says they reviled him. That's always their technique. When they fail at convincing anybody of their error, then they revile, then they just make fun of the person and say, well, you are born a sinner, you will not know, you are ignorant, you have not been initiated to the real truth, that's why, and they reviled him. They still do that today. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we're blessed. And being persecuted, we suffer it. You see, this man, he was being persecuted, and they reviled him. He did not revile them back. That's how you know that his life had been changed. That's how you know he had been turned around. He did not pay them back in their coin. They reviled him. They insulted him. They looked down on him. They pushed him away. He maintained the truth, he maintained the word, he maintained the testimony, but he never reviled them back. It says in verse 13, being defamed, we entreat, and we are made the fields of the world, and they are the offscouring of all things unto this day. As you look at John chapter 5, John chapter 5, because now they were saying, we are Moses' disciples. We are followers of Moses. That's not true. That's not true. Look at John. In John chapter 5, even though they were professing that they were following Moses, but yet it was a lie. In chapter 5 of John, John chapter 5, verse 45. John chapter 5, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Look at this. Jesus was saying, this Moses you say you believe in, he will accuse you, because for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? That was their problem. John chapter 7, reading from verse 19. John chapter 7 from verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Moses gave you the word. How are you the disciples of Moses? How are you the followers of Moses? How do you say you respect Moses? How do you say you honor Moses? He gave you the law, and none of you is obeying that law. We come back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. And you see that this was always their attitude. Always rejecting the word of God. Always resisting the word of God. Always wanting to go their way. And then they said, but we know the Lord. We know the word of God. We know Moses, and he is our master. And we are following him. But look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 of Acts. Reading from verse 51. Is stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, and of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels. And tell me out aloud, they have not kept it. They have not kept the word of God they received through Moses, and yet they are always saying, he is our master, he is our leader, he is the one we are following, and we are his disciples. No, they were not. They were just liars. They were not only blind, they made other people blind. They didn't enter into the kingdom of God, and they stopped others that were entering the kingdom. They taught themselves lies. They taught themselves falsehood. And they taught themselves and compelled other people to believe the lies and to die for falsehood and to die in falsehood. They sealed their own doom, and also seal the damnation of the present generation and of the future generations. And as a depraved religionist person compelled you to remain blind, or you want to remain blind without seeing the goodness of the Lord, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the problem was the problem of carnality. The problem was the problem of being deep in sin and rooted in sin and kind of entrenched in their sin. In Romans chapter 8, reading there from verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. They were carnally minded. They were not spiritual at all. They didn't see the goodness of God. They didn't want the goodness of God. They didn't want the gospel. They didn't want the truth of the word of God. They remained carnal. And it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, not born again. They that are in the flesh, not transformed. They that are in the flesh, they've not met the Savior. They that are in the flesh, the Spirit had not been regenerated. They that are in the flesh, it says, they cannot please God. In the natural self, you cannot please God. In depravity, you cannot please God. In your original self, flesh, you cannot please God. Without a transformation, without a change, without the touch of the Lord, you cannot please God. And that's what Jeremiah is saying in Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, reading from verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, it says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard is spots, then be ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. If you're like the Pharisees and you have not been to Jesus, if you're like the Pharisees, you have not allowed him to touch your heart, transform your heart, change your life, and change your behavior, you'll be accustomed to doing evil and to saying evil. And whatever comes out of you will be the words of those who have not known the Lord. Like the leopard, the animal that cannot change the skin, and like the Ethiopian that cannot change the skin, so you too, you'll not be able to change your character. You'll not be able to change your actions. You'll not be able to change your behavior. You'll be acting the same old way. In fact, he tells us about them in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 5. And he will deceive everyone, his neighbor. Well, that's like talking about the Pharisees. They deceive themselves and they deceive their neighbors. And they even threaten their neighbors. If anybody will tell the truth, if anybody will say, this is Christ, this is the Messiah, and this is the one that has come to open the eyes of this man, we are going to turn him out of the synagogue. It says they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. Look at this, look at this. They have, tell me out aloud. Tell me. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 5. They have, what have they done? They have taught their tongues to tell, to speak lies. You wonder when somebody tells a lie and then he looks at you like this, it's like it's not anything wrong. He's carried out a wrong action and he looks normal, she looks normal, because she's trained herself to tell a lie. He has trained himself to tell a lie. Lying has become the second nature. It's like that's what they're going to do. There's no salvation, there's no conversion, and there's no touch of the Lord, there's no transformation from the Lord. And it says they have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. They will labor to commit iniquity. They will make effort to commit iniquity. They will do everything they can do. They spend energy, they spend money, they spend time, they spend everything so they can commit sin or commit iniquity. And it's because they have not met the Lord. And that's what we learned about the Pharisees. That's what we learned about any sinner who has not met the Lord. There's depravity, there's carnality, there's sinfulness, and there is the deliberate lie and deliberate sinfulness that they practice. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, reading here from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See that? Because of the blindness of their heart. Everyone that is born into this world comes with that blindness of their heart. It is when you come to Christ that he opens your eyes spiritually and then turns you around and shows you the light of the gospel. And now you say, I can see. I didn't know this was wrong before. I didn't know that that was the wrong way before. I didn't know the broad way leads to perdition, eternal hell before, but now I see, because now he touches your eyes, and because now he opens your eyes, because now you can see, and because you can see and say, praise the Lord, things are different now. Once I was a sinner, but now I'm righteous. Once I was guilty, but now he has turned my life around. Once I was just in the jungle of sin and iniquity, and I taught myself to tell lies, I taught myself to do evil, but now things are different. Something happened to me. I met Jesus. If you have not met Jesus before, you'll meet him tonight. I said you'll meet him tonight. And when you meet him, a change will happen. A transformation will happen. You'll be able to say, I was like that, but I'm now like this. I was going the wrong way, but now I'm going the right way. You'll go the right way in Jesus' name. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. It says, they abandon themselves to sinfulness. They abandon themselves to evil. They abandon themselves to is doing what was not right. And it says to walk all uncleanness with greediness. You know when somebody is greedy? Greedy of this and greedy of that. And the Lord is saying over here, they're greedy of committing sin. They're greedy of committing evil. They're greedy of wanting to do that which was not right. And I pray that your life will be totally different in Jesus' name. And look at the conclusion on those Pharisees. We're looking at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And I'm reading here from verse 33. Then we'll back up to some other verses. You'll see why Jesus Christ was making the conclusion that he made concerning them. Matthew chapter 23, while looking at verse 33, it says, ye serpents, and ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He was talking to those Pharisees. He said, here is your problem. Generation of vipers, untouched, untransformed, unsaved, unconverted, unforgiving, uncircumcised. How will you escape the damnation of hell? What was in their lives? What was peculiar to them? What did he call them? The generation of vipers. Look at verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. These people were religious. They'll pray, they'll visit, they'll do what they called evangelism and make proselytes. Look at verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold child of hell than yourself. You see that? We're coming to verse 23. In verse 23, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and of anise and of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. The little things they carried out, washing their hands, washing their feet, and then observing some of those things they have imposed upon themselves. But when it came to the weightier matters of the law, of justice, of mercy, of faith, this you ought to have done, and not to have left the others undone. Look at verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a knot, that is, at a knot, something that is very small, like a little insect. They'll strain at that. We don't want to defile ourselves, and yet you'll swallow a camel. They will do things that are outrageously evil, blatantly evil, and yet little things. Say, no, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. But the great things and the great sins of their lives were still there. It says in verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion, of cheating, and of excess. Then it goes on to say in verse 26, that blind Pharisee, cleanse forth that which is within, and that the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. On the outside, they appeared nice, they appeared correct, they appeared clean, they appeared righteous, but then it says, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, he also outwardly appear righteous unto men, not before God, righteous unto men, religious before men, but within he are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's the nature of the Pharisees. But if anybody is like that, if you look at your life and you see that your life, even though on the outside you are religious, on the outside you appear clean, on the outside you look all right, but internally, your thoughts, internally, your imaginations, internally, your plans, internally, the things that have kind of struggled inside you, the sinful thoughts, sinful imagination, and sinful life, and sinful direction, and sinful plan, you need to come to Jesus Christ and he'll make you clean. Because Jesus has the power. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to transform. He has the power to change. He has the power to turn your heart around. He has the power to convert you. He has the power to save you. And when he saves you, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, tell me, all things have become new. It starts on the inside and then it comes to the outside and everything becomes totally different. And then you'll be like this man. You'll be able to say, once I was blind, but now I can see. Somebody there, once I was blind, but now I can see. Let the heavens hear you. Once you will see in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now, the discernment of a courageous, ransomed soul. You see, when you are born again, God grants you real change of heart and real change of life. If you were timid before, if you were fearful before, because you couldn't stand before, you didn't have any backbone, you were not rooted and grounded on the rock of ages before, but now you come to the Lord and it changes your life. You come come to the Lord and it gives you conviction. You come to the Lord, you are converted, you are born again. There is a change, a mighty change. And now that change will be boldness, will be courage. Let's look at this. We're looking at John chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 30. It says, the man answered and said unto them, why? Herein is a marvelous sinner that she know not from whence he is, yet he has opened mine eyes. He said, you are doctors of the law. He said, you are council of the Sanhedrin. He said, you are leaders and rulers in the land. And yet I'm surprised. Here is a marvelous thing that you said, you've not known this man. You never knew him, but he opened mine eyes. Then he goes on to say, look at verse 31. Now we know. They were saying, we know. But now he said, let me take those words from you don't know, but I know. You don't know, but we know. It says, but we know. In verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Isn't that sound doctrine? I said, isn't that sound doctrine? He said, the man, look at what he has done. He made claim and he told me what to do, and I went to do that, and now I came back and now I can see. He said, now we know. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But you know as I do, that if anybody be a worshipper of God and he does the will of God, him God heareth since the world began. Is he going to tell them now, you read the Bible, go and check up. You have the list of the miracles that were performed by Moses, by Elijah, by Elisha, by all the prophets. Go and check up. He said, you know about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go and check up. From the time of Genesis until this time, until Malachi, until Matthew, until Mark and Luke and John, go and check up. He said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You can see the courage of the man. But you see these people, the Pharisees, what did they do after this man presented something convincing, something that should turn their mind, something that should make them repent, something that will make them say, that's the truth. This man is telling us the truth. This is the way we should walk in this way. Look at what he did. They answered and said unto him, that was altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They said, you are born in sin. You're teaching us. No, they didn't want teaching. Have you noticed something? Those who are dropouts in society, they want other people to become dropouts. If you find somebody who has tried everything, business and education or whatever, and it's a dropout, he wants everybody else to drop out. He doesn't want the people to go beyond him. If you find a backslider, they want everybody else to be backsliders. If you have apostates, if you have sinners, the people that are living the wrong life, that's what they want. If you find fearful people, timid people, they don't like those who are courageous. They want everybody to be timid like themselves. If you have people who are religious scoffers and they are scoffing at the truth, that's what they want everybody to be. If you have self-deceivers, every self-deceiver wants other people to be deceived. If you have relatives who are hiding their sin, maybe you have one hiding your sin, that's what they want you to be. And they'll try to convince you to be like them. Thank God you are not like them. I say, thank God you are not like them. These Pharisees were deliberately ignorant. They were adamant in sin. They were unteachable. They threatened and they tried to pressurize and persuade the new believer to give up his faith. They failed. They will still fail. I said they will always fail. They will not confuse you. They will not destroy your faith. If you have true faith and genuine faith, they will not destroy that in Jesus' name. Eventually, what did they do? They drove out the man from the synagogue. And that's what some people fear. And that's why the parents of the man said, is of age, ask him, because they were afraid. The Jews are threatening that if anybody will say that this is the Christ, and that Christ opened the eyes of the man, he was going to be thrown out of the synagogue. But you know what the man would have understood, which is what I understand. What did he understand? They drove him out of the synagogue of darkness. There was darkness in that synagogue. There was no light in that synagogue. There was no knowledge in that synagogue. There was no truth in that synagogue. There was no eternal life in that synagogue. There was no way to heaven in that synagogue. And they were helping the man. They didn't know. They thought they were persecuting him, and they drove him out of the synagogue of darkness. They drove him out to the light of the world. Because look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he looked for him, he found him. He'll find you. I said he'll find you, because it says when he heard that they had cast him out, when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Greater knowledge is now coming to him. Do you believe on the Son of God? They cast him away from sinners, and they cast him to the Savior. Because as soon as those Pharisees, those sinners, as soon as they pushed him out, Christ was there. They cast him out from sinners, and they cast him to the Savior. They cast him out of the synagogue, and they cast him to the shepherd and the bishop of his soul. And the shepherd was waiting, not in the synagogue, but outside. And immediately he came out of that synagogue, the shepherd met him. It means they cast him out from the revilers, and they cast him to the Redeemer. They were reviling him. All he could get in the synagogue was reviling, abuse, oppression, threatening. But now they cast him out from those revilers, and then immediately he met the Redeemer. They cast him out from the unteachable, and then he met the teacher that has come from heaven. They cast him out of the fear of the Jews, and then he met the freedom that you have in Jesus. They cast him out of religious bondage to the reliable liberator, the yoke broker. It was a good thing for him. There are many people that are afraid, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I follow the word of truth, if I come to the Bible study, if I come to deeper life, they'll cast me out of our denomination. That's good for you. That's good for you. Because they are casting you out of darkness, they are casting you into the light. Don't you see the light tonight? I said, don't you see the light tonight? You keep on seeing the light in Jesus' name. This new believer received, number one, discernment. He could discern. He could discern. He said, you are wrong, and the one that opened my eyes is right. You are the one in sin. The one that opened my eyes is doing the word, the will of God. Number two, he received wisdom. Wisdom from the Lord. You see how he gave them the word. He said, since the beginning of the world, it has never been heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind. If this man were not of God, he could not have done anything. Number three, he received insight from the Lord. It was the insight of the Lord that gave him all this, that he had insight to the truth. You can tell he received, number four, courage. And when you come to the Lord, if you have a real experience, you're going to have discernment, you're going to have wisdom, you're going to have insight, you're going to have courage, boldness, unbreakable backbone. They couldn't break his conviction. They couldn't destroy his faith. They couldn't destroy his conviction. And when you come to the Lord and you know the Lord, he lives in you, and then he shares his mind with you, this kind of conviction will go with you everywhere in Jesus' name. You will not bend to evil. You will not bend to the sinners. You will not cow. You will not be bowed down. But you will not be broken by those unbelievers in Jesus' name. You'll have uncompromisable conviction. The conviction you cannot compromise with anybody. His faith could not be destroyed. He stood firm. And you too will stand firm. Unbroken. Unbendable. when you are truly saved. I pray it will happen in Jesus' name. And let's come back to this. In John chapter 9, here reading from verse 30. In verse 30, the man answered them, and said unto them. And you know, we've read that. You know what he began to say unto them. What was he telling them? He said, if this man were not of God, he could have done nothing. He couldn't have opened my eyes. If he was not of God, what was he saying? He was telling us what the psalmist had said in Psalm 66. Look at Psalm 66, and I'm reading here from verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. That's what the man was saying. He said, if this man were not of God, he couldn't have done this. He couldn't have opened my eyes, but he has opened my eyes. He is of God. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. We're reading from verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He said, Pharisees, didn't you read that before? Didn't you know that before? That if this man were a sinner, he couldn't have done what he had done. How can you tell me that we know he's a sinner? No, he's not a sinner, because we know from this, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Look at 1 John chapter 3, we're reading from verse 21 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Here it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. It says, if anybody be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, keeping his commandments, we know that's the one God will hear. And here John tells us, we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Welcome to Isaiah, reading from chapter 64 and verse 64. Isaiah chapter 64, reading from verse 4. Still pursuing this, a thought that the man was trying to reveal to those Pharisees, but they were not listening. It tells us, for since the beginning of the world, that's what the man was saying. And the man seems to have known more scripture than those Pharisees, than those religious leaders, than those uncircumcised in heart, untamed in tongue, unconverted in their lives. He seems to have known more than them. Look at verse 4. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waited for him. He said, what Jesus Christ has done, nobody else has done that before now. And therefore I know that he is of God. And you can tell in your life, Jesus has done something for you that no other person could have done. He saved you, and he gave you peace of mind. He gave you a change of life. He sanctified you. He removed that Adamic nature from you, and now from the inside makes you holy and through and righteous thoroughly. If he has done that, that no other person can do, you know that this Jesus is unique. And this Jesus is the very Son of God. Since the world began, nobody has been able to do that. Isaiah chapter 66, we're looking at verse 5. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 5, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. That's what he did to the man. Cast you out for my name's sake. Said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. I thought somebody there will say amen. He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. You see what happened? They cast him out, and the very following verse, it says, and Jesus saw him, and Jesus said, do you believe on the very Son of God? It was to his joy. And then those people were ashamed. We're coming back to New Testament. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 27. Here it tells us about the plan of God. Here it tells us about what God normally does. It says in chapter 1, verse 27, 1 Corinthians, it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Those Pharisees, they thought they were wise, but this blind man whose eyes had been opened, a new believer in Christ, he confounded them. They thought they were mighty, but this weak individual who just received his sight, he confounded them. Look at verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things that are despised, that they revile, as God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. What do we notice about this man? We notice about this man that he had courage and boldness. When you've been with the Lord and has touched your life, that courage will come. That boldness will come. It may be you're in a family where you're the only believer, and then everybody is putting questions, they're pressurizing you here and there, and questions you never thought about you could answer, the word will come to you, you'll answer all their questions in Jesus' name. It might be in the office that it appears that all the co-workers, they're dribbling you and asking this and this. Where have you gone? What happened to you? What's the change? Look at you. You're different now. What's happening? Okay, it will not last. It's just for this and it's just for that time. And God will give you the boldness to answer them. In fact, some of them are going to be convicted and convinced and converted in Jesus' name. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 13. Acts chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 13 now. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that what? They had been with Jesus. That's what somebody will notice tomorrow. I said they'll notice it in your life. They will know you have been to Jesus and Jesus has done something new and something marvelous and something great. He has turned your life around for the better. You'll not go back to those evil things anymore. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, I'm reading from verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. But and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. Do you believe that? Yes. I will never leave thee. Do you believe that? Yes. And then he says, and not forsake thee, that, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. What man shall do unto me? You'll be the overcomer. Yes. You'll be the conqueror in Jesus' name. We're coming back to point three now. That is, his devotion to Christ, the revealed Savior. His devotion to Christ, the revealed Savior. We're coming to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Maybe you are wondering, how could he ask that question? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? He knew him as Jesus. Because when he was giving testimony, he said, a man called Jesus made clay and put on my eyes and told me, go to the poolside Loam and wash. And I went and I saw. What's his name? Jesus. I said, what's his name? Jesus. That's what he knew. And then he also knew him as a man of God. He said, if this man were not of God, he couldn't have done this. You see, Jesus has many titles. And as a new believer, he had not known all the titles of Jesus, all the names of Jesus. He knew him as Jesus. He knew him as a man of God. He knew him as somebody that was a true worshiper of God, doing the will of God. That's how he opened my eyes. He also knew him as Lord. That's why he said, who is he, Lord? I know you are Lord. I know you are Jesus. I know you are the man of God. This person you are talking about, the Son of God, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Wonderful. So that Jesus is the Son of God, the one talking to me now, that one that I said, if he were not of God, he couldn't have done anything. That's the one talking to me now. That one I'm calling Lord, my Lord. That's the Son of God. And look at what he did in verse 38. And he said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And what did he do after that? And he worshipped him. He called him Lord. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, that title, Son of God, the revelation of that title. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 15. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the revelation coming to this man now, that here is Jesus, here is Lord, here is the man who has opened your eyes, and is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Special revelation that the man was getting now, because it was the Father that revealed it unto Peter, and is the Father that revealed it to this man now. As Jesus said, you both seen him, and it's the one talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. It says, then they that were in the ship, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It's new revelation that came to even those disciples when they saw that the storm was over and Jesus Christ entered into the ship and everything was calm. Then they came to worship him. The same thing this man is doing. He said, now that you recognize this is Jesus, this is the man of God, this is the Lord, and this is the Son of God, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Actually, if you know what the Father had said to the angels when Jesus came to this world, you'll not be surprised. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, talking about Jesus, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, that is by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Look at verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding how many things? All things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, be made so much better, so much higher, so much greater than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, for to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Look at verse 6 now. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. That's what the man is doing now. What the angels were to do, what the angels already did, and they worship the Son of God. And what the disciples already did when he came into the boat and he said, "This is the Son of God," and they worshiped him. That's what the man did. He said, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And when he believed, what did he have? In that faith, when he said, "Lord, I believe," we're looking at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 15. John chapter 3, verse 15, it says that whosoever believeth in him. Notice the man said, "Lord, I believe." Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what will happen? Should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Was that man saved? Did he have eternal life? Was he a disciple of Jesus? The same thing will happen to you. And if you have believed already, the same thing has happened to you. If you are worshiping him already, the same thing has happened to you. And you are saying, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." You will not worship idol, you'll worship him. You will not worship Satan, you'll worship him. You will not worship occultic power, you'll worship him. You will not make a covenant with Satan or mysteries of Satan. You will give yourself fully to the Lord, you'll worship him in Jesus' name. In fact, why are we studying the gospel according to St. John? Look at John chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 31. John chapter 20, we're reading verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." What this man has realized, that's what he wants to realize. What this man now received, that's what he wants to receive. He said, "Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe." And because of that, he worshipped him. And it says over here, these things are written. Everything we're reading in John, everything we're studying in John, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. We're reading from verse 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is,'" tell me, "'the Son of God.'" You see, it's the same thing. Whether we're talking about the disciples, about Peter, or John, or James, or all the others, or we're talking about the blind man whose eyes were opened, or we're talking about the eunuch of Ethiopia that Philip spoke to, it's the same thing. They believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and because they believed that, they had life. And then he goes on to say in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Why? Because now life had come. Eternal life had come. Jesus Christ had appeared to him now. He believed, he was saved. And now he went on his way rejoicing. Let's come back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 39. John chapter 9. And we're reading here from verse 39. It says in verse 39, "And Jesus answered, 'For judgment Am I come into this world that they which see not might see? He said, that's why I came, that they which see not might see. He's talking about something spiritual now. They didn't see light before, now they can see light. That's why I came. They didn't see joy before, now they can see joy. That's why I came. They didn't see eternal life before, but they can see eternal life now. That's why I came. He said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see. Look at this. And that they which see might be made blind. It's talking about the Pharisees, that they which see, we see religion, we see synagogue, we see sacrament, we see rituals, we see the old covenant, we see everything before the cross, but they cannot see Jesus, and they were made blind. When he said that, look at verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Are you talking to us? Instead of coming on their knees, and instead of repenting of their sins, instead of giving away their pride, instead of making confession, we understand. They said, we hear you. I hope you are not talking about us. I hope you are not preaching at us. I hope you are not making us examples. That's the problem of some people. They don't want to have the word come straight to them. They don't want to be mentioned in the word. If you mention, you know, maybe young people or children or women or whatever, they say, hey, hold on, preacher, preach your word. Make it superficial. Preach your word. Don't identify anybody. Just preach your word and don't point at us. You see, that's like the Pharisee. They said, are you talking about us too? Are we blind also? And Jesus said in verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if you are blind, if you will accept you are blind, if you will accept you don't have sight, if you will accept you don't have salvation, if you will accept you are in darkness, if you are blind, then he says, ye should not have any sin. Ye should have no sin. You'll come quickly and I'll forgive you. He'll forgive you tonight. You'll come quickly and I will cleanse you. He'll cleanse you tonight. You'll come quickly. He will take your darkness away. He will give you the light. But now ye say, we'll see. You're not born again and then you're satisfied. Ye say, we'll see. You're not sanctified, but you're satisfied. Ye now say, we'll see. You're only religious, you're not righteous, but you're satisfied. It says, ye say, we'll see. You have not had eternal life. You're not on your way to heaven. It's only religion, empty religion, and you're still in darkness. And you say, we'll see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. I pray your sin will not remain. It will forgive you. It will cleanse you. It'll change your life. It'll turn everything around. You'll be in Christ, a new creature, and your life will take a new turn, even from tonight in Jesus' name. Look at this blind man. He received his sight. Look at the Pharisees, those blind people. They remained blind. They remained blind. But this man received sight, and he received greater revelation. As I look at the old chapter now rounding up, he saw Father than the religious. This man came and he could see Father. He could see Jesus. He could see the Son of God. He could see him as Lord. He could see him as the expected Messiah. He saw Father than the religious. He heard greater than the fearful. His own parents were fearful. His own parents, they said, well, they only knew it was Jesus that opened his eyes, but they would not confess that. And so they said, as for the fact that was born blind, that we know, and that his eyes are open, everybody can see. But whosoever who has opened his eyes, that we do not know. And he never heard anything more. They never heard anything more. But this man had greater than what the fearful parents had. And he understood better than the self-deceivers. He understood better. He said, I understand. I was blind. Now I can see. And I understand, if this man were not of God, he could have done nothing. I understand, this is Jesus, this is man of God, this is the Lord. And now eventually he understood, is the very Son of God. He understood better than the self-deceivers. He became wiser than his counselors. They wanted to counsel him, and he said, give glory to God, give praise to God. Can I counsel you? Just say, God, I thank you. Your eyes are open. It is the work of God. You know, God works in marvelous ways, a way we cannot understand. He has done this for you. Give glory to God. As for this man, we know that he is a sinner. I said, no, don't tell me that. He was wiser than his counselors. You'll be wiser. I said, you'll be wiser. You know, the people are telling you, okay, you've gone there, and now you say you have peace of mind. And that's okay for, now that you've got peace of mind, why don't you leave the place and go back to the old synagogue where there was darkness? You'll say, no, I'm wiser than that. When I was in the synagogue there, I got nothing. When I came to this place just once, look at everything I've got. I'll keep coming. You'll be wise. I said, you'll be wise. He yielded deeper than the multitudes. You all those multitudes, he is not, and he said, I am he. And you see, he went higher, he went deeper than the multitude. He looked higher to the Son of God. It was like, you know, he was seeing Jesus Christ as a man called Jesus, opened my eyes, but now he saw him. He looked at him there. He's not just on the same level with us. Now he's looking higher to the Son of God. He says, this is the Son of God that came from heaven. And he looked higher and he believed stronger and firmer than ever before. That's why he bent down, fell down, just went on the dust, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He worshipped him, number one, as his Lord. Worshipped him as his Lord. You'll worship Jesus as your Lord. There's no other Lord. There's no other Lord. He is the one. He saves, he heals, he delivers, he sanctifies, he's the coming King. He worshipped him as Lord. Number two, he worshipped him as the Son of God. Lord, I believe you are the very Son of God. And he worshipped him as the Son of God. He worshipped him as the Savior, the only Savior. Nobody else could save him. Nobody else can save you. He's the only Savior. And when he realized that this is the only Savior, he went on the ground. He worshipped him as the only Savior. He was so happy. And am I not lucky? Am I not fortunate? Am I not favored? He worshipped him as the expected Messiah. And he No, I was blind. I couldn't see anything. Even those spirits, I could not see them. Even the Pharisees that had nothing, could do nothing. I could not see them. But now I saw beyond the Pharisees. I saw beyond the synagogue. I saw beyond everything. And now I see the expected Messiah. He could not hold his devotion and worship. He fell down and he worshiped the Lord. He saw the light, the true light. He saw the light that came from heaven, that showed light to everyone. And those other people did not see that, didn't have the light. But this man that was born blind, this man that had no money, this man that had nothing at all, he saw the light. And thank God, he has favored you like he favored him. I said, he has favored you. Now I see the light. I said, now I see the light. Somebody there, I said, now I see the light. He saw him as his light brighter. Were it not for you, I'll just be bound in darkness there. Were it not for you, I'll just be at the gate, be a beggar. But now you have light brighted me. Now I'm free. I walk about and I talk to people. Think about it, a person like me, I could be talking to those Pharisees, I could be telling them the scriptures, and they even said, are you going to teach us? They're already calling me a teacher. I was just testifying. And think about that, he worshipped him as his liberator, he worshipped him as the door, the only door of hope and the way to heaven. He said bye-bye to all the people that were trying to confuse him. He said, now I've seen the door. I'm going through this everlasting door. I'm going to get to heaven. Somebody there is going through the door. I said, somebody there is going through the door. Where is he now? Where is she? Going through the door. And you go to life everlasting. Why don't you stand up and tell the Lord, now I see, now I see, he is Jesus, now I see, he is the Son of God, now I see, he is my Lord, now I see, is my liberator, now I see, is the door of hope, and the one that leads me to life everlasting, life eternal, now I see. He'll open your eyes tonight. Even if you are saved, he'll open your eyes more. You're sanctified, he'll open your eyes more. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll open your eyes more. You'll see more about Jesus tonight. Is the door of hope, the way to heaven, and you'll be on your way to heaven.